This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build a kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Is spending money you don't have an immoral proposition? According to the Word of God, what if your government is spending money like trillions more than they have, going into debt? Is that immoral? What does a Christian do? What if you're an entrepreneur, an expert in Bitcoin technology and the blockchain, you're running a company? How does it make you feel? Well, I'm sitting next to Chris Brady. We're at a cool restaurant. There's a little bit of music going on, a little bit of shag kind of music going on, Chris. Maybe appropriate with the times we're in. We were just talking about this fiscal thing. We got the Fed that is, they're printing money faster than we can spend it. And we got the government committing money that we don't have to spend. Can you make some sense of this for us?
Yeah, well, Stu, you had asked me the question, what do I think is going to happen with the economy? Are we going to go into the recession that a lot of people are talking about, that the inverted yield curve seems to predict that we'll have, that the rising interest rates have put some banks under pressure? We've seen some bank failures, which seems to be an early indication of weakening in the economy, cracks starting to form in the edifice, so to speak. And most of the experts seem to think, yes, we're heading for either a soft recession or a pretty hard one, somewhere in between. But the fact is that we will have one. But we've got a conflict going on because we've got the Federal Reserve trying to fight the inflation that it caused with its monetary policy during COVID, when it overstimulated the economy by keeping interest rates artificially depressed. So it caused all of this inflation, and now it's trying to raise interest rates and tame inflation. It was late to start doing that, and now it's trying really aggressively to go after that inflation. But at the same time, you've got a conflict because the federal government fiscal policy is overspending and building bigger and bigger deficits and higher deficits, spending trillions of dollars. And so you've got tightening going on with the money supply on one side, but the fiscal policy of the U.S. government is to overspend by trillions on the other side. You've got one with a foot on the brake, one with a foot on the gas, and we've got large inflation that is not going to be tamed by a 5% interest rate, especially when the federal government continues to insist on all this deficit spending, sending all of these hundreds of millions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. All of these government programs, it's a bubble that continues to be inflated, and it can't last. Something has to give.
Yeah, Chris Brady, tell a little bit about yourself. I mean, you've written books on financial stuff. You've lectured. You've become a real expert in this area. You've helped a lot of folks, even from, Joe homeowner, get out of debt, get on a budget. Talk about your background a little bit and what got you interested in all this.
Well, we all have to be careful accepting that title of expert. But I dug in on Bitcoin because it seems to be one of the places that is counter to all of this madness. It's like gold. Gold doesn't listen to politics. It doesn't get involved in any of the latest trends of monetary manipulation. And gold is a safe haven that doesn't change its value over time. All other things fluctuate against gold. Bitcoin was developed to be a digital version of gold that nobody can tamper with. Nobody can increase the supply of Bitcoin to meet some government mandate or agenda, just like you can't increase the supply of gold very easily, except for expensive mining that takes a lot of time. And the gold supply is very steady. It's very hard to increase, which is why it's a good store of value. And Bitcoin was designed to be software that mimics that same behavior that gold does, that can't be tampered with. Nobody can increase the supply. And because of that, it presents itself as a good hiding place, a good place to park some of the fruit of your labor so that nobody can tamper with it. And that's where I came at it, because I try to help people with their finances, help them get out of debt, help them be sane in their money management, help them to, not get greedy and not be tempted to live the way the world lives in massive debt, so they can fund this materialistic lifestyle that's beyond their reach, that ultimately puts them in problems. Debt is a national addiction. Credit cards, by the way, are the gateway drug that lead people into the national addiction of debt. And so the things that we should strive for in our personal life, to balance our budget, to not spend beyond our means, to safely park the fruits of our labor somewhere in gold, in strong assets that produce ongoing of money flow and cash flow and Bitcoin, those types of things, we should also demand that kind of policy from our governing bodies. So that's where I got interested in Bitcoin. That's why I wrote The Bitcoin Bride. Hopefully it'll help one or two people understand what to do with their personal finances.
Yeah, people get worked up, you know, on political issues, and we should. We should be concerned about abortion, you know, being pro-life, protecting the family, protecting the genders God designed, you know, man and woman. But a government can also be immoral, you know, violating God's standard when it comes to debt and all that. When it comes to money too, right, Chris? Not just these other obvious moral issues. There's the one of financial. If I say to you, I'm going to pay you money, or hey, loan me some money, Chris. If I don't pay you back, I've broken a covenant, a vow. I've in a sense deceived you, correct?
Yeah, when you default on a debt, it's basically a lie. So when the U.S. government owes more money than exists, there's no way it's ever going to be paid back. But the real thing we as Christians have to remember, and what should be the most important, is that we're not citizens of this earth. We're not going to fix this earth with policies and debates. We're not going to find the perfect candidate that is going to get us out of all this. It's just not going to happen. This place is a mess. This is not where we belong. It's under sin. It's under the curse. And until Jesus returns, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, we will not have what we inside know is what we, you know, what could be, because we read the Bible, because we understand the scriptures, because we follow the one true God. We understand truth with a capital T, and we feel the difference between what God holds out and his perfect character and his love and his holiness compared to this fallen world. And we see the difference. And Christians, yes, we should certainly vote, and we should certainly be politically active, and we should certainly try to keep standards and hold people accountable. But to overdo it and to think that we're somehow going to fix the earth with Christian principles and Christian political activism is not right. We're not here for very long. We're not citizens of this earth. We belong to the heavenly kingdom. And our biggest thing ought to be to try to rescue people from the trap that they're in by thinking this is all there is.
Yeah, the gospel's the solution, but it's also when you see Christians, God's people, that don't have common sense about this, that don't understand, hey, I would rather have my pet project and overspend and get into deep debt rather than honor God and be generous with what he's blessed me with.
Amen. Yeah. And so, yeah, taking it back to that level then, how then shall we live? To quote Francis Schaeffer's famous book is, okay, so each of us individually is responsible for how we behave financially, for keeping our financial house cleaned up and making it a contributive blessing to God's people and the world, to let it be a source through which we can shine God's light and reflect his glory, how we use our money. We don't want to be like James 5, where James felt the need to sternly warn believers not to sit on their wealth and to bask in it and you know, not even pay the wages to people that deserve the wages that were working hard. Yeah. He felt it necessary in just five chapters in a little short book to spend some time warning Christians to handle money properly. And that's what we should do.
That's Chris Brady. He's the author. He's one of the co-founders, along with Orrin Woodward, of Life Leadership, a great program, a great company helping a lot of folks become financially free and make a kingdom contribution in the areas of leadership and everything. I guess that's kind of what life is about, right?
Well, we consider ourselves to be a marketplace ministry. We're Christians first, and we use business for the purpose of glorifying God.
Now, a lot of folks, you've written this book called The Bitcoin Bride, which is a wonderful read. It's a fictional kind of explanation or guide to Bitcoin and the blockchain, all that. Chris, a lot of folks, just to skim on the shallow end of the pool here real quick, some pastors are like, this Bitcoin, this blockchain, is an entree into a digital currency that's going to be the mark of the beast. How do you reply to that? And how do you talk about the difference between that and the government forcing some kind of thing like that?
Yeah, it's most likely the opposite of that. If you wanted to extrapolate and predict what could happen with digital currencies, it's when the government issues its own digital currency, which allows them to surveil every penny you ever spend, on the one hand, and program the money to disallow you to spend it where they don't want you to spend it. When they replace the U.S. dollar with a digital dollar, what they call a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, when that happens, that's more likely the mark of the beast. Bitcoin is a rebellion. It's a revolution. It's a grassroots effort to escape those kind of draconian, tyrannical money systems and preserve individual freedom and autonomy in their finances.
Very helpful. How can people get your books, learn more about your ministry, hear your podcast, you know, get involved And also, you know, this book is real helpful. There's a lot of ignorance proliferating out there, Chris, on this area of the cryptocurrency and all that. What's the best way to connect with Chris Brady?
Yeah, just go to my website, chrisbrady.com. You can see everything there. And The Bitcoin Bride is a romance novel. It's not a business book. It's not an expository book. It's written to be approachable and easy for people who barely even understand what Bitcoin is at all. And it uses fiction and a fun story, hopefully a fun story, to teach the basics of what Bitcoin is and why it's important.
Okay, awesome. From the deck of a cool restaurant here in this beautiful weather with Chris Brady in Cary, North Carolina, home of our great affiliate, 105.7 FM, Truth Network, and AM 1030. And for all of our listeners, thank you to all of our affiliates that are brave enough to carry this radio program. And thank you, Chris Brady, for the kingdom impact you're having. I've learned a whole lot from you. Thank you for your generosity. One challenge to people out there about being generous with what God's given them to give, to manage that as a stewardship and to get involved in the process, because a lot of these underlying currents are from socialism, Marxism. I mean, there are worldviews behind everything we're seeing happen in the public spectrum.
Well, government seems to feel that it needs to, and need is the key word, that it needs to swoop in and handle social issues because the people can't or won't. It's when Christians are not giving. It's when Christians are not making their money work in society and taking care of each other and showing the world what we can do, that government gets to creep in and steal our freedoms by saying, no, we'll take care of this. We'll handle the poor. We'll handle the widows and orphans. It was never necessary if the Christians are generous and giving as they ought.
The government's so effective at balancing the budget and keeping us out of debt, right? And the economy, that we need to let them decide that there's more genders than there are Hindu deities. And we need to let them come in and tell us what marriage should look like. And we need to let them tell us, you know, that our kids need to go to drag shows and to mainstream that. I mean, what kind of sense is that?
There's almost nothing to say. It's insanity.
Learn more and get some sanity from my friend Chris Brady at chrisbrady.com.
That's right. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.